Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's hour number two of the early line on a Friday morning right here on St. Patrick's Day. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside with you. And we've got 16 games to preview, so let's not waste too much time here, Donnie. This whole thing will begin with Michigan State and USC in a 7-10 matchup. Tom Izzo in March. Is that how we look to approach this game here today?
A true coin flip in this game here, Kevin. I could see both of these teams advancing, and rightfully so. They're evenly matched. If I'm going to give a handicap on this game, you take a look at Michigan State and USC, both solid on offense, both solid on defense, and also both very similar. But if you take a look at Michigan State, who doesn't get to the free throw line all that much, actually 312th in the nation at point distribution from the charity stripe, you're going to have to look elsewhere. Well, good thing they're very good three-point shooters. At 39% as a team, that's top five in the country. And you better make your three-point shots, because if you're not scoring from the free throw line, Kevin, you better be scoring from the free throw line, three-point line, which includes inside. How about this, Kevin? You take a look at USC, number two in defense, 42% inside the arc. I don't like the matchup necessarily for Michigan State. I do think they have a legitimate chance to win because both of these teams are close. But if Michigan State's three-point shot isn't going down, they don't score from the charity stripe, they don't score inside the paint, this might be a tough one. That's why I went USC. Not in love with it, but that's the way I'm leaning here. And that's the way I went in my bracket.
I'm backing USC's lead man in Boogie Ellis here over a points prop of 17.5. He has been a big game player against good defenses, and that is what Michigan State brings to the table. We've seen him have 30-plus point performances against both UCLA and Arizona in Pac-12 play. Big games against Arizona State, Tennessee, Auburn throughout the season, and he's hot right now. 21-plus in five of his last seven, averaging 24.3 points per game during those last seven games that he's played. That number 17.5 looks a little light for him in a big spot. We get over to Xavier against Kennesaw State here, a 3-14 matchup. Xavier checks into this basketball game in one of these spots where you go, oh, they should win no problem here, -1,000. This is where the tournament starts to trick the brain, and you wonder, does Kennesaw State have a little bit of juice? Big total, by the way, 153.5.
Yeah, I don't know how much juice they're going to have. I mean, Xavier is awesome on offense, Kevin. Also, top 10 in efficiency here. Also, effective field goal percentage, top 10 as well. And also, that stems from how well they shoot the three-point shot. We just talked about Michigan State, top five. Same thing with Xavier. They're actually third in the country, close to 40% from three-point range. It should be enough to out-muscle them. But how about this, too? You take a look on the other side, Kevin. Top 35 team at making the three-point shot at only 37%. Not a big difference there, right? 37% to 39%. The difference from 33rd to 3rd in the country. I think we do get points in this game, but Xavier just a little bit too battle tested here in this one. I'll take them. I don't know if I want to lay, though, the 12.5 points. They'll win the game, though.
The points could be a little too much. You know, it's funny. Two teams that would profile comparably to Kennesaw State within the Big East would be Butler and DePaul, who we actually did see Xavier lose to both of them by a combined 3 points, though. Right. So if it's going to be an upset here, it would be narrow, but maybe within that 12.5 range. Kennesaw State 9-4 against the spread this season in 13 games as an underdog. And then we get to Baylor and UC Santa Barbara, which is a game that it looks like you and I early here are seeing a bit differently. Yeah. Another 3-14 game that features a double digit spread. 10.5 is the number that the Baylor Bears are going to be laying in this game. Total for this one is 141.5 DRS. Talk to me. And you're also, you're going to have to bring that radio audience in, which is a good little blessing here for people on a Friday.
No, it is, because they're really going to want to hear this breakdown. So I'm going to stall out just for a few moments and let the people know I got a really good one here on deck for UC Santa Barbara as we welcome in the radio audience here. You're watching and listening live to the early on a Friday morning edition, St. Patrick's Day, and it's certainly an extravaganza here in College Basketball SiriusXM Channel 159 on Sports Grid Network. Let's take a look at this game, Kevin. I love this game. Not to say I do think Santa Barbara can beat Baylor. I'm not saying that, but the matchup is absolutely fascinating. You take a look at UC Santa Barbara on offense, Kevin. Top 25 in the country, inside the arc at close to 55%. Why is that important? Look at defending inside the arc for Baylor, who has a terrible defense overall. 314th. That's going to be a matchup. Point distribution, Kevin. Top 20 in the country. You see Santa Barbara at scoring inside the paint. And if you look at Baylor, 104th in the country at letting you score inside the paint, but also flip it over to Baylor. What did they do well? They're off. They're awesome. Tempo, three-point shots, they get it done. Top 30 in the country at making the three-point shot. But how about this? 23rd in the country at chasing you off of the three-point line. That's UC Santa Barbara. Again, not saying UC Santa Barbara is going to pull off the upset, but if I'm looking at close to a double-digit line here, I'm going to take the points. I actually like the matchup for UC Santa Barbara here. I do.
Here is, so you will see Baylor be the favorite for me when we get to the pick six. Admittedly, it's more about the team total, but if you made me lay a number, it would be the one with Baylor. And it's more just about what Baylor has been able to do to any defense that they've come across that's outside of the top 150. And it is absolutely annihilate them, blistering the Nets. And also, it's off of a loss, Donnie. It's off of a loss. I've seen this Baylor group every single time they come off of a loss light the Nets up, and that is the spot they find themselves in here against UC Santa Barbara.
Now, forget about this handicap for a second, which I was lining the people up with great stuff here. Let me get to the bottom of this. So we're about to hit the radio break here, K-Dub. Did you think I don't pay attention enough where I knew exactly what time we were coming up on? So you had to remind me as if I would just 100%. Run right through that break. I mean, that's just, I mean, who doesn't trust their co-host?
I mean, I had to change a shirt this week in the middle of the show, and you didn't notice until I told you.
I mean, change that green shirt, too, at this point now. I mean, what do you want from me?
What do you, hold on, the green shirt looks nice. Green shirt looks nice. It's a little Conor McGregor.
I don't get my feelings. I think I hurt my feelings a little bit there. Like, hey, Donnie, make sure you know the radio prompt is coming up here and get to it. I mean, come on now.
I was more so hyping it up. I was like, wow, people are going to be pumped up there to hear you bring the radio audience. And you save special events. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's keep this thing moving here. There are so many games to preview. A lot of action on this board, of course, on a Friday. We'll go to that 5-12 St. Mary's VCU. This is the one game I think I saw the most people betting when the bracket was unveiled. As people were betting VCU. St. Mary's is down to 4.5 here in this spot. Total for the game, 122.5 for the other Gales, as far as these eyes see it. Hmm. What do you think about St. Mary's and VCU?
Two Gales in Albany, man. How would that be a matchup in round two? Well, we'll see if they actually get there at this point. But if we're taking a look at VCU and St. Mary's, Kevin, the clash of styles here. You're talking about what Shaka Smart invented there, as I want to say, for VCU. That, you know, Havoc-type defense, full-court press the entire game, which typically you foul a lot, which this year, VCU not fouling nearly as much as they did in the past. But also, when you take a look at the clash in styles, St. Mary's going to be very slow. VCU is going to want to try to turn up the tempo with some of that full-court press. But also, St. Mary's doesn't turn the basketball over, so it's a really good matchup from VCU's perspective. If we're looking at VCU, it is a solid offense that they have here. They don't rebound a ton here. St. Mary's one of the best defensive rebounding teams in the country. VCU gets to the line. St. Mary's doesn't foul that much, but here's what comes into it. VCU is not a bad three-point shooting team, Kevin, around 35% as a team, which is okay, but they don't shoot a lot of them. They're 302nd in the nation at volume from the three-point line. St. Mary's is actually 28th in the nation at chasing you off the line, so the three-point shots won't be available there for VCU in this game, so they better score in the paint, and sometimes that could be an issue against St. Mary's. They do have some size, but they're also 21st in the nation at only giving up 45% inside the arc. I think it's a good matchup here for St. Mary's, but having said that, VCU plays good defense. They're going to try to turn you over. They defend well inside the paint. I just think St. Mary's is a better team. And if we're looking at the spread where it comes into, it figures if you just pick the winner, they're probably going to cover by margin. And I have St. Mary's winning this game. So I wouldn't say, well, hey, St. Mary's going to win the game, but I don't know if they could cover a couple points here. I can't do that. I have St. Mary's advancing in my pool. I'm going to ride them out. I think they're going to slow the tempo down, not turn the basketball over, and certainly lean on some of their better players, which in the pick six, you're going to want to watch out for Logan Johnson.
You know, I feel like two people talk about maybe St. Mary's is a group you don't want to trust come tournament time, but Last year, they were in a very similar spot. They played a 12-seeded Indiana, and they beat them by 29 points. And St. Mary's was just a 2.5-point favorite. The prop I'll look at in this game here is Aiden Mahaney, over 1.5 made threes. Coming off of missing this, and he's rarely had back-to-back games where he's not been able to get this done. And also playing against elite defenses has hardly bothered him, as he was able to light it up against Houston and cash this as well against San Diego State throughout this season. Let's get over to Marquette, Vermont here. This game looks to me, Donnie, like there's going to be a ton of points, at least specifically from one direction, and that is for Marquette. They are going up against Vermont here, the Catamounts, who have a defense outside of the top 150, and that has led to Marquette going absolutely wild. In 10 games this season where they have had an opponent whose defense is ranked outside of the top 150, Marquette averages 87.9 points per game in those matchups. I'll be on the Marquette team total here. What about you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense here. And also, take a look at both of these ball clubs here. You take a look at the nation's longest winning streak here for Vermont at 15 games. Marquette, certainly no slouch, have a win streak of 9 games themselves. So two teams playing their best basketball heading into the tournament. It should be a lot of fun. Both of these teams, Kevin, very good on offense and very efficient. You're talking about Marquette, top 10 in the country. How about this? Turnover percentage, 24th in the nation at not turning the basketball over. How about Vermont, Kevin? 9th in the nation at not turning it over. And also, how about this? Both of these teams don't get to the free throw line all that much and don't foul all that much. So we're looking for a pretty clean game. When we talk about point distribution here on offense from the free throw line, Vermont, 326th in the nation. And how about Marquette? 338th in the nation. So you're probably going to be looking at a lot of open jump shots, a lot of smooth offense that's being played here. Now, granted, again, Marquette's defense in the top 150, already said Vermont here at that 150 range. The offense is going to be nice here. It is the tournament. It's the first game. I understand the numbers here. You're always going to want to lean towards the under, but I don't see it that way here. If I'm not going to get a lot of fouls and a lot of clean looks in an open type environment here, these two teams can get after it on offense. They can knock down the three-point shot. They like to shoot the three-point shot in volume. Let's go over in this spot. Now, I do have Marquette going deep. I think they win the game. Don't get it twisted on that end of it. But I do think we get some competent offense from Vermont. We can have a pretty good game.
Yeah, and also take a look at Marquette's lead man, Tyler Colex, assist prop. Saw 6.5 in those 10 games I mentioned against defenses outside of the top 150. He has had 7-plus assists in 8 of those 10 games. In a 6-11 game here, it's Iowa State, Donnie, taking on the Pitt Panthers. This game profiles very similarly to Pittsburgh's game against Mississippi State that they were able to narrowly win in order to get into the official tournament. Can the Pitt Panthers keep it rolling here against the Cyclones?
I got to tell you, it's one of those games, again, where you take a look at where you never thought you would actually like Pittsburgh. Now, in my pool, I do have Iowa State advancing. I do think they're the better team, but sometimes when we talk about styles make fights, Kevin, I think Pittsburgh's offense matches up very, very well against Iowa State. Most would say, Donnie, what are you talking about? Iowa State's got a really good defense. Look at the division, the conference that they played in here. The Big 12 was very tough. And also, if you are looking at numbers on KenPom, adjusted efficiency on defense, they're a top 10 ball club here. They turn you over just about more than anybody in the country. They're number 2 at doing that. But Pitt's offense also very efficient, effective field goal percentage around that top 50 range. Turnovers, they don't do it all that much. And also take a look at this. Iowa State loves to foul, 338th in the nation at fouling, which Pittsburgh can get to the free throw line and shoots at a decent clip as a team at close to 76%. But Kevin, take a look at this. When I talked about Penn State going up against Texas A&M, I told you A&M's a really good ball club, certainly playing in a tough conference. They should be able to give them a run. They couldn't. Why? Because Penn State loved to shoot the three-point shot and at a high number. Now, granted, Pittsburgh doesn't shoot it at a high level as Penn State does, but still 36% as a team. They're also a top 35 team in the country at volume from three-point range. Take a look at Iowa State on defense, Kevin. 355th in the country at letting you shoot the three-point shot. It matches up well for Pittsburgh's offense. I actually still have Iowa in my pool, so I'm going to be true to form and figure they're going to win this game. But my goodness, the more I look at Pitt, the more it makes some sense. Pittsburgh's going to hang around. They got a good matchup if there is one to be had against a top 10 defense.
Yeah, Iowa State was able to take advantage of that Baylor Bears defense, but that's not always been consistent for them when playing teams that, you know, are offensively driven, right? They struggled against Mizzou, struggled against Iowa, so we'll see how that plays out here all in all for this game. We get over to Creighton and NC State, which is also a 6-11 matchup, which I feel like is one of these games, as it gets closer and closer, I wonder, have I not thought about the Wolfpack enough here? Because, Don, every time I've seen this game, I go, Creighton in a route. And then I go, man, it's only 5.5. It's a 6'11", and it's the NCAA tournament. But I like this Creighton basketball team. They should be able to handle their business here against NC State. When you line this game up, where do you see the value?
Yeah, you know what? Creighton is a better basketball team, obviously. I think we can agree to that. But sometimes when you get down to the numbers, if I did this to you and you said, let's line these teams up, take a look at the numbers where they're ranked, take them off the board. Take the teams off of the statistics and go over this game. I actually look at it and go, you know what? I'm probably going to pass on this game. It looks more of a coin flip to me, even though we have Creighton as a -5.5-point favorite because technically they are the better ball club. But heading into this game, Creighton's defense, Kevin, 356th in the country at turning you over, which means they don't do it at all. And you take a look at NC State on offense, a top five offense at not turning the basketball over. So what does that mean? NC State's going to get a lot of looks at the rim here. None of that, hey, 25% up the quick, Kevin. We're not even getting a shot off because the other team is running the other way, getting easy buckets. And sometimes that's what it comes down to. Teams that turn it over, it's not important that they turn them over, Kevin. It's the live ball turnover that turns into easy buckets on the other end, which Creighton isn't going to get. Now, again, I have Creighton advancing. I think they're the better team, but I think you're right about this. NC State, if you just line them up, it's not a bad matchup for them.
You know, and the one number that's pretty tempting to me, Tre'Quavion Smith of NC State, his prop checks in at 15.5. You don't usually, I feel like, get to the tournament and see a team's best player offer up some value, but Smith has averaged 17.5 points per game just over the course of this season. And we've seen him play well against, you know, some top defenses throughout this season. That number comes down as NC State's a dog, as they play a good Creighton Blue Jays team, but maybe it's come down a little too far, and that 15.5 could be worth the look. Still plenty to get to, including the Iona Gales, as Rick Pitino tries to get the Gales an NCAA tournament victory, and maybe his last season there. We'll break it down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The one you've all been waiting for, UConn, Iona. Rick Pitino, potentially his last game with the Gales. I can't. Truly, and maybe this is me being foolish, I can't get a read on what Rick is doing. He's like, man, I'm not worried about leaving. I'm telling you, man, I told you this is my job. And then he's like, I've got some class coming next year, and all these guys are returning. It's going to take a lot for me to leave. It's like, well, then, I mean, I'm sure teams are offering you a lot, Rick, so that won't be hard to come by. So are you – who knows? Look, we'll see if he's able to get the job done here today, though, against the Huskies. Iona is a 9.5-point underdog. The total for this basketball game is 140.5. Can Iona get it done? By the way, just to give people an idea here, This is just the second time this season Iona is booked as an underdog. That's how dominant that they were throughout their games in conference and of that nature. What do you think here, UConn-Iona?
Yeah, Iona's a really good basketball team here. I mean, by the way, just to double down on Rick Pitino, you know, sort of that little bit struggle here. Here's what he should be getting from the Iona crowd today when they take the court. A standing ovation for lifting them to heights
Stop. Those
crowds have never seen before.
Oh,
you should hope that
literally
Rick Pitino
been less successful
comes back here.
Literally less successful.
Iona maybe even change goes from a university goes to a college to a university. Next year, they might as well just change the name from Iona because nobody's going to know who they are if Rick Pitino does leave. But back to this game, Iona and Connecticut. I actually think it makes a lot of sense here to back the underdog to keep it close. Iona's pretty good, Kevin, and you're right by this. Now, playing day-to-day competition levels, UConn obviously much better than Iona, but there is something to be said about some of these, you know, non-Power 5 schools, the mid-majors that come into these tournaments, winners of 14 games in a row. The one thing you do have to like, again, is I always joke about Rick Pitino, you know, oh, great coach, this coach, and Iona. Let's take that out of the equation. He's been there, done that before. Rick Pitino's not getting to the NCAA tournament game going, hey, man, this is so exciting, guys. We've never been here before. Like, no. Like, Iona as a school has been there before. Rick Pitino has cut down nets here. He's been to the highest level. He's going to know how to handle this environment. Now, granted, it is UConn. They're going to basically outnumber you at every single position, but that's what Power 5 schools do to some mid-majors here. The one thing I do think you run into a little bit of trouble if you're Iona on the defensive glass is Connecticut is the number one team in the country at rebounding on the offensive glass. Extra chance chances at buckets here should do the damage. But if you're going up and down the list, Ione is very good on offense. Don't turn the basketball over. Can shoot the three-point shot. I just think they're going to get out-athleted at most positions here. They're going to win the basketball game for me, UConn. I got them going a long way here, but I don't think it's one of those games, Kevin, where we tune in and go, oh, Rick's already out the door, 37-12 at the break. That's not going to happen here. It really isn't.
Yeah, they should be able to hang around. They genuinely have an NBA-level talent on their team in Walter Clayton Jr. They have a impressive backcourt with a big man in Nelly Joseph Jr. who should be able to hang. You know, one thing is you try and look. Ione this season has not come up against a ton of elite offenses. The ones that they have, Ione has been able to match them. However, take the New Mexico game, for example, right? Now, Ione did lose that game. New Mexico's 20th overall on offense. But Ione was able to get to 74 points in the game. But New Mexico doesn't bring a defense to the table like UConn does. It's a tough matchup here. I think most people would agree UConn is by far the best four seed in this tournament. Virginia stinks out loud. People were desperate to fade Tennessee. And then Indiana, we'll get to their game against Kent State in a minute. It's an unfortunate draw. The game's up in Albany. We'll see if the Gales are able to get it done, which we certainly would love to see. Purdue, fair to Dickinson. Again, you love when you have an opportunity to not bet a game involving a number one seed because it involves a team in New Jersey. I still think that we should protest these games and not even break them down, but that would be unfair to all of our watchers and listeners who are not restricted by these archaic, garbage, nonsensical rules. What do you think here, Purdue, Fairleigh Dickinson?
It's funny you say that, too, because, again, being in New Jersey and not being able to bet this basketball game, when we start to look at, like, our Pick 6 contest coming up here, excuse me, the Pick 6 that we're going to do here on a Friday, the first thing that popped in mind was, okay, I want to take a team total for a team. Oh, Purdue! And I said, oh, no, I can't actually bet Purdue. Because why would I want to bet Purdue, Kevin? Just look at the efficiency on offense for Purdue, who played in a Power 5 conference, number 6 overall. FDU, who played in, obviously, a non-Power 5 conference here, 359th overall. And when you break it down here, FDU fouls. They don't defend the three-point line. They don't defend in the paint. They don't do anything well. Purdue literally should score every single time down on the court. Because if you're looking at a mismatch, there's no bigger mismatch in the NCAA tournament than what Purdue's offense can do to FDU's defense. I would take the Purdue team total over, but since I'm in New Jersey, I actually don't even know, Kevin, what it even is. It's a heavy favorite of close to 23 points. Purdue should roll, but again, it's not always, do we have to roll? Do we have to play our starters the last 5 minutes? What's the importance if we win by 10, 15, 20, or 40? There is no significance as long as we win, but the one thing I do know, Purdue's offense should manhandle FDU.
So you pointed out to me kind of where FDU's defense ranks within the entirety of college basketball, which is bottom five. Not, again, of everybody in college basketball. This captures all 363 teams.
Yeah.
Zach Edey played one game against a defense that was outside of the top 300. He scored 30 points on 12 of 13 shooting. His prop is 22.5. I mean, again, Zach Edey tonight, 15 of 15 from the field. Honestly, they should start letting him shoot threes tonight and just elevate it a little bit and see how that lines up. Kentucky Providence, Wildcats here in the sixth spot or four-point favorite. Kentucky's a group. It's tough to tell what you're going to get out of this Kentucky Wildcats team, Donnie, on a regular basis here. We know they're talented. How does Providence line up, though? Big total here, 143.5.
I want to say also, I believe Wheeler's coming back for this game. I thought I read something there on Twitter, so maybe some extra go here for Kentucky. But it's one of those things where you line up Ed Cooley as an underdog and you sort of give him the nod in that spot. But this just feels so Kentucky, like under the radar, Kevin, all season long. And I remember even going back to when we were in the midst of football season, but trying to preview college basketball. And we laughed at Coach Calipari before the season going, I don't know what you guys are expecting, but we're a really bad basketball team. And we said, hold on, you're top five to start the season. What are you talking about here? And it was sort of that slow build to the end of the season. And you talk about teams playing their best at the end of the year. I'm not saying Kentucky is playing the best basketball they can, but you take a look at Providence slipping here in the past couple of games. I believe losers of four of five games heading into the tournament. It just feels like Kentucky can out-athlete Providence. That's the way I would go. Do I love the game? Am I taking it here? No, I'm not. But in my pool, I do have Kentucky advancing, and that's what I'll stick with here. I think it's time for Kentucky to show up here with Coach Cal in the tournament, as opposed to Providence getting hot here and going on a run. I trust Kentucky just a little bit more.
Look, I think it's understandable. However, Providence with a top 25 offense in college basketball. Kentucky has played 8 games against top 25 offenses. They are 1-7 in those games, which includes their 2 most recent losses to Vanderbilt. I mean, they have just been absolutely useless against offenses that you would consider elite. Gonzaga, UCLA, Alabama, Mizzou, Vanderbilt 3 different times, and then Kansas. Kentucky's not earned my trust here in this spot against Providence. You want to make it a team total, so be it. Miami Drake, this is a 5-12 game with a 2-point line that has now worked its way down to 1.5. I mean, we're flirting with a 12 seed being favored over a 5. DRS, though, is this all about the injury to Miami's big in Omir? What's the story here in this 5-12 game, total 146.5?
I guess you are looking at that because if he is an inside presence, it's a new look college basketball, right? And a lot of teams don't go with a 7-foot center. He's that 6'8", 6'9", dominant power forward that can get up. And that's when you take a look at Omir. He can do that. Looks like he's going to play, but certainly not be at 100%. You got some good guard play with Penn over at Drake. I mean, they can shoot the 3-point shot. They're used to this environment. And also, you're going up against Kevin. This is a Power 5 school that won the ACC regular season. Now, granted, it wasn't an outright win, but it was still one of those. You're saying, let me get this straight. Basically, a possession favorite for an ACC champion over a mid-major in Drake? That's what you're getting out of this year. But I don't want to buy into this because most people were buying into Oral Roberts as a 5-12 going to knock off, let's just say, Duke, and that didn't happen. San Diego State was supposed to get knocked off yesterday and certainly get a run from a game Charleston team. That didn't happen. I sort of feel the same thing because all during the season, Kevin, this isn't a Miami team that's catching us from surprise going, oh, we didn't expect anything here. Miami is guard-laden with a very good head coach, and this team has run through Wong and Pack, and if they play well, they should win this basketball game. Are we giving too much of the upset alert to Miami? Again, a regular season ACC champion that by game time, who knows if they're even going to be an underdog here? Am I buying in too much to the Miami Hurricanes? Am I overvaluing them too much here? Because Drake is a good basketball team, don't get me wrong, but I just think when we look at this, if you're just line reading, it's a stone cold line for Drake, but I'm not giving up on Miami. I think it's a really good basketball team with great guard play, and I think they can win this basketball game. I took Miami to advance in my bracket over this game. I'm not going to change the opinion whether or not they have Omir or not, Kevin.
Yeah, but I do think what's difficult for me, and you're right, you look at the line and you go, oh, wow. But how much of that is about Omir? And what would this line be if not for that injury? Was this always going to trend this way? Because if Omir is on that court, Donnie, Or we can get word that he's going to be on that court, which, by the way, we won't get word because I don't think I knew Marcus Sasser was playing yesterday for Houston until I picked my head up and saw the game on my TV. So if we can't find out if maybe the college basketball, a first team All-American on the number one seed, if we're not going to find out information on him, we're not going to find out a single thing about Omir, which again is unfortunate because we're in the heart of the tournament and we still. Maybe bet the game live. Maybe that's your best bet there because just transparency is absolutely non-existent at the collegiate level. We are hitting a break here with a lot to get to, including Gonzaga and Grand Canyon. There's a lot of value, I think, perhaps, in that Zags game. We'll break it down coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's make it happen, folks. Here we've got Gonzaga Grand Canyon to start this thing off. I think we've got 5 games remaining and then the pick 6 here. Gonzaga Grand Canyon, I believe, would qualify as my favorite game of the day because I think there are 3 different picks that I'll have in this one, DRS, including a team total. I believe you like the full game here, though, over the number, correct?
Yeah, I think we get a lot of points in this game, Kevin. And basically it stems from Gonzaga's offense being that good. It doesn't matter who they match up against. Efficiency in the country, number one overall. Effective field goal percentage, number one overall. Turnovers, they don't turn it over. Shoot the lights out from 3. The best team inside the arc. On and on and on you go, Kevin.
Yeah, look, Gonzaga is playing a defense that ranks 200th in college basketball. 11 games this season for against defenses that are 199 or worse. They've scored 87-plus in 9 out of 11. They average 98.5 points per game in those 11 games. And Drew Timmy has cashed over his points prop of 19.5 in 7 of the 11, averaging 24.5 points per game in this spot. 430-plus point performances as well if you're looking to climb the ladder. And then I've also got Strother over 1.5 made threes. He's hit 2-plus in 8 out of 11 of the games that we are highlighting here. Memphis FAU, one of the trickiest games on this slate. Memphis labeled the nightmare matchup for Purdue, but can they get past Florida Atlantic, who's had themselves a great season? FAU right now is a 1.5-point underdog. Big total here, 152.5.
Who's going to make their three-point shots, Kevin? Who's going to defend it? If you take a look at Memphis on defense this year, top 35 team overall in adjusted efficiency here. But if we slide that down, take a look at FAU's offense. Top 20 making the three-point shot at 37%, Kevin, but also top 40 in the country at volume from three-point range. Why does that matter? Memphis is going to let you shoot the three-point shot. 333rd in the nation at allowing you to shoot the three-point shot. But how about this, Kevin? Top 30 at defending the three-point shot. So that's what the game's going to come down to. It does look like a true coin flip because you do have an 8-9 matchup. The 8 is favored at -1.5, but I think this is the matchup that Purdue wants to avoid if we're being honest, because Memphis has much more, I don't want to say athletic ability than Florida Atlantic, but it's basically the case here. If we're looking at three-point range, I'm going to say Memphis defends the 3 and moves on to take on Purdue, and then we'll see what happens in the round of 32.
Interested to see how the two top dogs for Memphis perform in this game. Kendrick Davis, points props 22.5. DeAndre Williams, that number's 18.5. You would think your worst case scenario there would be a split with the way those two guys played throughout that American tournament. We'll see how they line up again in this matchup with FAU. K-State, Montana State, Kansas State here. The Wildcats are a 7.5-point favorite. The total for this game is 139.5. I'm eyeing up a lower scoring game here. DRS is this is a mismatch for Kansas State. So much better on the defensive side of the basketball than really what Montana State should be able to handle. How do you line it up here?
I'll tell you what's interesting, Kevin, because sometimes if you're looking to take an underdog in Montana State, you need to have something to believe in heading into the game where you might have an advantage. Now, granted, the style of play is much different from the Big 12 and a Power 5 conference into what Montana State sees day in and day out. But how about this, Kevin? Top 5 in the country getting to the free throw line. Why is that important? Kansas State around 300th in the nation at fouling. So if we're trying to take a look at converting those, they're 76% from the line as a team here. Now, if you take a look at point distribution, they're actually top 5 in the country at points per possession from the free throw line. So if they can stick around, get to the free throw line and hang around, that should give them something here. Having said that, Kansas State is much better. They're much more talented. They should win. But if you want to believe in Montana State, as I said, they can get to the free throw line and they can make their free throws. That could keep them around here.
K-State, again, one of those elite defenses for Montana State. Yeah. In terms of teams that would even remotely profile that they played on their schedule, Oregon, who was in the 60s, held them to 51. Arizona, who was in the low 30s, held them to 54. This Montana State team total, 66.5, to me is too tall. Again, we've seen K-State against defenses. You know, the only offense that ranked outside of the top 100 in the Big 12 was Oklahoma State. And Kansas State was able to hold them, that Oklahoma State group, under their team total in both of those meetings. So keep that in mind here as we try and evaluate where the value is for that game. Lower scoring is, again, the anticipation. Indiana, Kent State here. This is a big game for me in the futures department as I do have Kent State at a, I think, 6-1 ticket to make the Sweet 16. It all starts here, though, with an upset of Indiana. Do you think I can get that upset, Don?
Because again, Indiana's one of those teams that I always think is one of the softer teams out here. Now, granted, rightfully so, maybe I'm going to be proven wrong and they can make a deep tournament run, but Kent State certainly battle-tested out of the MAC, Kevin. Let's line up what makes sense in this game. If you look at Indiana on offense, they're actually a top 35 ball club at making the three-point shot percentage-wise at 37%. Kent State, however, defends it pretty well. Top 30 in the country, only giving up about 31%. Why does that matter? Take a look at this. 355th in the nation at volume from the three-point line is Indiana. added. They don't shoot very many three-point shots. Now, here's the issue that you're going to have, and this is the mismatch or maybe the matchup that you're going to have in your favor for Kent State. We know you're going to get a lot of Jackson Davis there in the low block. It's why, point distribution-wise, Indiana comes in sixth in the nation at scoring inside of the arc. But how about this for Kent State, Kevin? 323rd in the nation at letting you score from inside the arc. They're pretty stingy down there. If you can somehow battle and say, you know what, Jackson Davis, you can have your points, but nobody else is going to get theirs, they'll hang around in this one. They are a trendy upset here. Put it this way. Nobody's taking Kent State saying, I think they can hang around with Indiana. I'll take the 4.5 points. You need to legitimately believe that Kent State can knock off Indiana. And I think there's a legitimate chance that they can do that.
Though, to the idea that you're betting, yes, if you're betting Kent State but think they can't win the game, you're wild. Yes,
you're doing it wrong.
However, Kent State, Donnie, had three losses out of conference. They covered all three of those games. So, again, the world where this is Indiana by three, I would hate to see that. I want to see Kent State win this basketball game. But the point also is, and I'm not saying you were making this point, don't only bet Kent State plus 160. Who could ever need 4.5 points in a tournament game? Don't you know, 4.5 points can ultimately matter. Last game here before the pick six is TCU and Arizona State. The Sun Devils have been very good as an underdog against the spread, 9-5 on the season. Obviously, a dog here in this game, and a 6-11 to close it out. Does the dog have value to you?
I guess the dog would have value just in the simple fact that, as if you take a look at Arizona State, do they come in hot and they're already ready to go? Do they feel good for winning a tournament game? That's what battles into it. When you take a look at TCU, the thing that could get you in trouble, you can't live and die by the three-point shot. But also, Kevin, you can't just write off the three-point shot altogether. It seems like that's what TCU does. 340th in the country at only shooting 30% as a team, but 338th in the country at volume from three-point range. Why does that factor in? Arizona State's defense, Kevin, down low, top six in the country at defending inside the arc, and that's where TCU's points come from. Maybe we have an upset brewing here, huh?
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that there. That Sun Devils group, they're a fun one to watch, and we'll see how they're able to handle it here. We've got the pick six coming up. We did this yesterday. You were piping hot, 5-1, an underdog, a favorite, and over and under at a pair of prop plays. Let's see if we can keep it hot here as we send people off into the weekend.
Yeah, let's keep it simple here. We might be going toe-to-toe in this one, but I'm going to take the underdog here in UCSB to keep it close against Baylor. We're looking at a 10.5-point line. Keep it within 10. I just like the mismatch here. Now, granted, it might be a mismatch in talent, but if we're just trying to read the numbers, I think there's a legitimate chance they can stay inside that number and hang around a favorite today. I'm going to go with St. Mary's here at a -4.5. I think they win the ball game today. It's a fascinating matchup against VCU, but I do think if they win, they should be able to cover the 5, similar to what I had yesterday in San Diego State with a miracle cover. That certainly I needed at least one of those free throws at the end of the game. But again, if I thought San Diego State was going to win, I thought they would cover as well. I'm going to take a total today at 155.5. So I only lost yesterday, taking a high total. So maybe I didn't learn my lesson, but I'm going to jump back in. Gonzaga and Grand Canyon. Gonzaga is going to do whatever they want on offense. The thing I like about Grand Canyon, volume from three-point range, the ability to make the three-point shot, and also Gonzaga not defending all that well from three-point range. Give me a hot streak here from Grand Canyon from three. I should be able to take that down. And under today, UConn and also Iona up in Albany. Is it going to be an ugly game? I don't think so. But both of these teams got some athletes on defense. I think they should keep it close here. 140.5, Kevin. I'm going to take the under. Two prop bets yesterday. This is a good segue into it, right? Yesterday, I brought the funk with three-point shots for Penn State's Andrew Funk. Dropped 8 of them. I only needed 3. So you know what? I'm bringing the boom stick today with Xavier. That's solely boom to make 3 or more three-point shots. That's at a +106 today. I think he gets that done. And also, Logan Johnson from St. Mary's. If I believe that St. Mary's is going to win that basketball game, he is going to factor in. If you take a look at his last couple games, he's either in or out, it feels like, Kevin. Versus Gonzaga, 20 points. BYU, 10. 3 games previous before that, 29, 27, and 27. He'll have a big performance today. I just need him to get 16 points or more to cash that in. I went 5-1 yesterday, Kevin. Is regression come today, or are we laying the wood against your bookie today? Let's go.
No, I think you'll be able to stay hot here. I'll make this quick point. It might sound like a cop-out, but we have to be honest. Yesterday is a reminder as to why I am very fortunate to have met Donnie and stopped betting sides and betting team totals. Because Howard covered all game long, and then they didn't, but their team total flew over. And Alabama got one of the worst beats that'll happen all tournament, but their team total flew over. So for the underdog and the favorite, again, I followed the rules. I can give you sides. But sneaky, don't tell anybody. I really just like the team totals. And the fact that Donnie thinks UC Santa Barbara covers doesn't really help me feel any better about Baylor. But Providence, +4.5 against Kentucky, who cannot beat any team that is good on the offensive side of the basketball, 1-7 straight up and against the spread when playing teams that are inside the top 25 in offensive efficiency. The favorite for me, Baylor, -10.5. The Baylor Bears have absolutely shredded every bad defense that they've seen. UC Santa Barbara is outside of the top 150 in defensive efficiency there. Plus, Baylor coming off of a couple of losses in a row should be able to bounce back here and get after it against UC Santa Barbara. Marquette team total 77.5. They played 10 games this season against defenses that rank outside of the top 150. They average 88 points per game in this spot. I look for Marquette to get active here in their game against Vermont. Montana State team total under 66.5 as they are playing an elite Kansas State offense. And Montana State was not even able to hang against any really defense that they saw inside the top 100. Now playing a group inside the top 20. This should be a tough day at the office for them. And then lastly, a pair of prop plays here on a couple of stars to go over their numbers. Drew Timmy over 19.5. He has dominated bad defenses like Grand Canyon. If you get some alt numbers there, he might be in for a 30 ball. And then Boogie Ellis has been red hot here entering the tournament, averaging just under 25 points per game over his last 7 games here, DRS. I think he'll have a good one against Michigan State.
I'm excited, man. This is day 2 of the tournament, even though technically it's day 4. This is a wonderful day, and obviously I'm looking forward to expanding on my playbook here, Kevin, which means that I'm trying to fill up my wallet for the rest of the weekend. Great start to the tournament for us, and I guess, could it be like, you know, strap on the sport coat here, and all of a sudden I'm a winner? What happened here? Just dressing up the guy.
Some people are saying we might just keep these things on Monday, man. They might just stay around the jackets.
Never know.
Listen, I remember hats, not hoodies. That long ago, someone showed up in a t-shirt. People were shocked in the background. Shock and horror, mayhem. It almost turned into the early right side for the rest of time. Listen Up is coming up. I believe Donnie will talk about how tremendous of a holiday St. Patrick's Day is. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final episode of the week here for the early line, and what a week it was. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. I love this time of year. It's been so much fun to watch college basketball play out. Teams are getting eliminated, and your boy DRS is cashing in some tickets. Had an awesome day yesterday across the board. Pick 6 that I had went 5-1, picked out a couple dog winners, and we're looking for more fun today, so make sure you stay tuned here. But also, keep in mind, a lot of people's brackets were exploding on impact yesterday, and rightfully so. That's what the tournament gives us here. So if your bracket is messed up, you could still have a lot of fun. Listen up. I had Arizona in the Elite Eight, so one of my Elite Eight teams is out. But maybe that opens up the door because I do have a couple prop bets here, should I say a couple future wagers that should be able to work in my favor. One for Alabama now. Maybe the path getting a little bit easier with Virginia knocked out, which is a top 4 seed, and of course Arizona getting knocked out as a top 2 seed. But most people look at their bracket as the end-all be-all, and maybe 20 years ago it really was. But with the advent of legal gambling catching on from city to city, from state to state across the nation, you can still jump back in. Maybe you had Arizona to cut down the nets. Maybe you had Arizona in the Final Four to get to the championship game, and you're feeling a little bit down and out. But there's so many more games today that you can get involved with, win some money, and certainly cheer on a new favorite of yours. Now, granted, the NFL right now still having their free agent markets filtering through. The WBC is taking place right now, depending on if you're watching or enjoying that. But college basketball, obviously, on center stage. Yesterday was awesome. It was like a great appetizer going, man, how much more more basketball and how much more fun can you have? Buzzer beaters and upsets. You get an entire day, number two of it today on St. Paddy's Day. Looking forward to that, going over all as well. Hopefully, though, if your brackets are a mess, maybe you have a buy-in pool that you can get back into, a second chance pool here. But granted, you have wall-to-wall coverage today of basketball. We have that here at the Sports Grid Network. Bracket Central was sensational yesterday. Did you see the boys cheering on Furman and a big ticket underdog winner at the buzzer? You're going to get more of that today, so stay tuned. And it starts with the morning after, coming up with Ben Stevens next. Sports Grid, the place for all of your basketball coverage. Stay tuned.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.